Welcome to the Amy Rushworth Show. I'm your host, Amy. I'm so glad you're here. I'm an empowerment and sexual wellness coach, breathwork teacher, podcaster, course creator, badass bitch, and a globally recognized thought leader on empowerment. And I'm here to help you if you're ready to fuck off the rules and create a life of unashamed, unapologetic pleasure and deep, deep confidence. I have a burning passion for the taboo and naughty areas of womanhood that we're not supposed to talk about, such as sexual wellness, bold self-expression, defying social expectations, and so much more. The topics that we're typically taught to shut up about or be ashamed of are the conversations I live for, and those are the kind of juicy, soulful chats that are going down on this show. My intention is for you to step into your most outrageously free, unapologetically expressed version of you. So if that sounds like a vibe, let's fucking go. Are you ready? Welcome back to the show, everyone. I'm joined by one of my besties and an amazing business coach. I don't say that lightly. We're going to have a really good convo today. How are you, babe?
I'm really well. Thanks for having me here.
So I'm joined by Phoebe Greenacre. We've just been together in Bali, actually, and now I'm back in Spain.
Sad. Miss you already.
Yeah, I miss you already. I'm missing the room that you're in because I was staying in that room.
Yeah.
Amazing. So let's dive right into this episode today. Do you want to just quickly introduce yourself? Because you have a really eclectic and interesting kind of repertoire and background, and it will sort of lay the stage for who you are and why our listeners should listen to you.
Sure. So I always hate doing these little intros, but I'm kind of like half business person, half wellness person. So my background is 15 years digital marketing, building businesses, selling businesses. I love, you know, creating that side. But then the other half of me is a somatic therapist, yoga teacher, meditation guide, breathwork coach. So there's that, yeah, double side of me, I guess. I have the Sagittarius in me and then also a Gemini. So both of my north and south nodes coming together there.
Amazing. And
I help women. What do? I help women find freedom in their body, in their mind, and in their business. So freedom is my number one value, and everything I do revolves around that, having that in alignment.
Yeah. And you really embody that. I have been your friend for 6 years, I think. We were trying to figure that out the other day, and we became friends because I asked you to be my friend at a yoga class, quite literally. And I have watched you step into these different seasons of your life. And I think something that we really bonded over, that we resonate with each other or see in each other, is this ballsy attitude to like really go for what you want and to not let the opinions or the conditioning or what other people expect you to do get in the way of creating what feels like freedom to you. So when I met you, were you the CEO of Silu? Yeah, so you're CEO of an activewear brand, and I've watched you transition from this role. You were also a travel blogger, which I remember thinking, you're so cool. and then, you know, becoming a somatic therapist. You were doing yoga throughout that time as well. And now you're living this life of freedom in Bali. You're a new mom. You have this incredible business where you're impacting hundreds and thousands of women online and working in a way that really allows you to show up as that CEO and that mama. So what would you say like led you to being so ballsy like that? Was that something you were always born with, or was that something that you developed as a character within yourself?
I think that answer is twofold. First of all, I left home when I was 18. I moved to America. And I looked back at like when my baby sister turned 18, and I was like, Mom, how did you let me go at that age? It's like, well, you were determined. You wouldn't take no for an answer. You were like, I've saved enough money and I'm going, and that's it. Fine. Bye. And I also did the same thing. I went to Japan when I was 16 and I saved up every single penny to get to that place again by myself. My mum was like, you're not going, we can't afford it. And I was like, choosing not to take that narrative. I was like, no, I'm going, I will make it happen. And then I guess the more ballsy choices you make, even if it scares you, the less scary they become. So I feel like I adopted a ballsy, I'm going to do it attitude, mostly to, you know, prove my parents wrong. And then, you know, be scared still at a lot of the choices that I made. But I think over the years, and this is decades now, decades of choosing, doing the ballsy thing, doing the thing that scares me. And it makes it easier and easier the more things I do. I get practice at feeling the fear and doing it anyway.
I love that. And you always seem so chill when you're doing it, which is, I think, what like bonds us is, I feel like I'm like that too, like really fierce, but also just like kind of relaxed about it. Like, yeah, let's go. Let's do that scary thing.
What's the worst that can happen?
Yeah.
And if you're okay with what's the worst that can happen, then, you know, do it.
Yeah, totally. Cool. So what inspired you to go from being CEO of this activewear brand to journeying into somatic therapy and now journeying into, you know, helping women build their businesses, create their own lives of freedom? Because I guess the role of being CEO of an activewear brand sounds quite impressive to a lot of people. You know, a lot of people would think, wow, that's a dream career. But what was it that led you to changing that role and moving into the vision that you're living now?
Yeah, so I guess the start of the journey to that role was, I was a branding marketing consultant. I would work for lots of different brands in London, as well as a yoga teacher, and as well as I used to teach on retreats and travel blogs. So all of those things gave me the freedom and flexibility. And so when I co-founded Silu with my business partner Tatiana, I said to her, like, she offered me the role of CEO, and I was like, I don't want to be locked down. I don't want to be in an office. I don't want to be stuck anywhere. I need to be able to like go to yoga at 11 a.m. on a Tuesday, or I need to be able to, you know, get away to Greece at the drop of a minute on, you know, Wednesday. And she was like, that's fine. You can still do that. We can adopt those values in whatever we create. So that was fine and well, you know, good for the start of it. But I think 5-6 years into the journey, you get more and more staff, you get more and more factories, you get more and more problems to solve. You end up being, you know, when you're the head of the company, you end up being, you're the visionary, but you're also the firefighter. And you're always putting out the fires. You're like, fire there, fire there, fire there. And then a really big fire, one that I wasn't able to solve, is that we lost a whole like huge amount of stock during COVID, which literally threw our very small business into panic mode. And so during that time of wanting to fix that fire, or, you know, put out that fire, I was living in Kenya. I'd escaped London from COVID and kind of reassessing and reevaluating all of the things in my life. And for so many, you know, so many meditations I had, Silu just kept on coming up as like, it's not in alignment anymore. And I wasn't living in my zone of genius, because I was just like, I'm a great manager and in terms of, and a creator. So I was creating and managing and just fixing problems, but that wasn't my essence. I wanted to step into a leader, and I wanted to step into the healer. And I couldn't give either of those a chance, because I was just really in the thick of it, like getting my hands dirty, doing all the messy kind of stuff, which happens when running any, you know, any company. So I asked the universe for an exit plan, and this is what happened. And so I was like, shit, that is really messy. I didn't expect this would be the exit plan, but it eventually, push came to shove, we ended up we actually sold the business. So we're still both shareholders in the business, but we both, for personal reasons, needed to move on and leave the business. So we sold the business because we had built up a great reputation and brand awareness in London and the US, and, you know, it became an international brand. So it was just time to move away and step down as the CEO, which was hard for me because my whole life was about climbing the corporate ladder and, you know, getting status and feeling, you know, needed. To then step away from, you know, that I would say glitter, or, you know, the glamorous kind of side of it. You know, you're in Vogue, you're in all of these amazing news articles and the front page of, you know, the newspaper that goes around the train on at the metro, you know, loads of these things were amazing. But at the end of the day, I was selling leggings. Like, if you really simmer it down, I was selling leggings, and that wasn't making me come alive. And I needed to feel alive. I needed to feel getting back with my number one value, freedom. And it was tying me to London, and I didn't want to be tied to London anymore. So I don't know if that answered your question, hashtag mum brain, but I feel like we got somewhere around.
Yeah, totally. I mean, did you ever find out what happened to the stock? Did a shipping container like fall off the ship?
So that happens, and it, potentially that did happen with our stock. When it was during the time, we used to check eBay, and we used to check like loads of different things, because this was like, you know, custom. There wasn't a lot of Silu stock around. So if we saw the colors that we had produced, we'd be like, boom, there's our stolen stock. But we never found it. It was a lot of loopholes, and it was a little bit of a dampener. But lo and behold, the company is still running. It's still in London, and I still get to be a part of the team, just not so much day-to-day anymore.
Amazing. Cool. Well, lots of good lessons there, and you did ask the universe for an exit plan. So, yeah, and then it worked out really well, because I actually only just learned when we were together in Bali that Silu was still around, that you were still a shareholder, because the last time that we discussed any of that, it was like, we're probably shutting this business down, you know, after this loss of stocks. So
yeah,
feels like that was just all this alignment coming together, and the universe was like, it's time for something new and different. Yeah, yeah,
definitely.
Amazing. Cool. So then you moved into your somatic therapist vision for your business, and then also coaching and mentoring women on how to build their businesses and lives of freedom for themselves. Mm-hmm. What I love about you is that I feel like you really know what you're talking about in an industry where a lot of people who are business coaches, let's just say it straight, haven't actually run other businesses other than a coaching business, or they move into that because their previous coaching business or their previous yoga business wasn't making them a lot of money. So they think, boom, let's go be a business coach and make those dollars. So you have a background in marketing, you have a background in being an influencer, a blogger, running an activewear business, exiting businesses, starting businesses. So in terms of how you mentor people, who are the people that you typically work with, and what do you help them to do?
Sure. So anyone in the wellness kind of sphere. So yoga teachers, Pilates teachers, nutritionists, health coaches, mindset coaches, lots of coaches. And therapists, hypnotherapists, somatic therapists, breathwork people, anything that comes into the wellness realm. And a lot of people come with multiple modalities, like a few certifications. Some people just come with one. And we help them get their business up and running from scratch if they've got nothing. Sometimes they come just before they graduate. Sometimes they come after a year of graduating and they still haven't done anything with their certification. And then some people come with 5 years of running their, say, in-person business, yoga business, but they have no idea with the online world. And that's where my specialty comes into play, where we can help you build everything, build your awareness, your branding, everything online, and then learning the fundamentals of what it is to build an online business, an online community, create offers, find your niche, all of the nitty-gritty. And also build it in alignment with what your life wants to look like. So we start with creating your dream life. What does that look like? How do you want to wake up on a Monday? Where do you want to be? Who do you want to be with? All those questions that you can sometimes do on a retreat or in a lovely workshop, so that everything that you pick and choose and create and paint is in alignment with what that life looks like. So for an example, a client came to my program and said, I want to build a yoga studio. And I was like, great, amazing. But then she was like, but my number one value is freedom and travel. And I was like, great, probably don't want to be stuck with a in-person yoga studio. So that dream for her changed because she had kept on coming back to her values and designing and meandering the path a little differently. And I don't think a lot of the times we look at what that looks like. What does that roadmap look like? We just kind of look at the end picture. I want to be this or I want to do this, but we don't look at like what's actually entailed. Probably like people that want to start a restaurant. They're like, oh, it's a restaurant, it's amazing, it's this, but actually it's long hours. There's a lot of work that goes into it and you don't never get weekends off, you work nights, that kind of thing. So just looking at the full picture of what you want to create.
I love that you mentioned that because journaling on that specifically is what opened up, I guess, my third eye to find the business idea that I started with my own business. I started with, like, what does the day look like from the moment I wake up to when I rest my head on the pillow? And this is so simple. And I almost think when things are really simple, sometimes people just overlook them or just go, oh, fuck that, because it's just so simple. They're complacent with it. But that's a really important process, I think, in the beginning, because that, you know, it's easier to look at the destination you want to get to, but are you going to enjoy the process of getting there? Because the process is your life. The process is your, like, hours in the day. It's how you're spending your time, how you're feeling. And so, you know, I see this a lot in our industry and just in the business world in general, where people are really, you know, enticed by these big fancy numbers or accolades or milestones. But it's like, do you actually want to be in that process and what it takes to get there? Because maybe that's not in alignment with you at all.
Yeah, completely. And a really simple example, I have a lot of, you know, we know a lot of people in this industry of coaching or people working one-to-one. I could earn so much more money if I took on like 10 new one-to-one clients a month. But for me, that's 10 hours out of my week every week for the next however 3 to 6 months, and I don't want to sacrifice that. So I say no to, you know, having more money that way, so I have my time and my freedom. But a lot of people don't. A lot of people will just bank up their days today, like back to back, like 9 to 5. So, and then it just looks like another 9 to 5 job, not the life that you wanted to create.
Yeah, totally. I mean, Tristan, my husband, had this where he, you know, left his really impressive, successful finance career to create another business. And then what he kind of realized 2 years into this business was that he had recreated the same thing, but even more hours and more stress. Like, the finance was actually kind of chill in comparison. And so, you know, he took a similar route to you in that he still owns his former company, but he is now pursuing a career of freedom, a business that aligns with that. So it took him 2 years to figure that out, but he could have done that process sooner if he'd been maybe in your course.
Right. It took me 6 years in Silu to realize, hang on, this is not what I want to build.
Yeah, totally. And I mean, all of these trials and tribulations are part of the path as well. And I think you would agree with me in that I'm not afraid to do hard things, but I want to choose the hard things, like the hard things that I want to do, you know, not just doing things for the sake of doing things, and having a lot of like chill and pleasure in between those kind of ballsy hard moments as well.
I think there's that quote out there. I can't remember who it says, but I recently saw it from Mel Robbins' podcast or something. She's like, marriage is hard, divorce is hard, choose your hard. Like, getting up in the early to go to the gym is hard, being overweight is hard, choose your hard.
Yeah.
And so we like to choose what hard we like.
Yeah. So when people are coming to you, I would guess that when people are new entrepreneurs or they're freshly certified, there's a lot of nervousness there. It's brand new. You're stepping outside your comfort zone. And I would think sometimes the tendency would be to think, maybe I just need another certification before I start my business. Maybe I'm not qualified enough. Maybe I'll just do this, this, and this, and then I'll get started on Instagram. So what do you have to say about that? Like, when someone comes to you with that, should they be like getting more and more certifications, or should they be investing that money in, you know, building the foundations of their business and getting out there, getting their first few clients, and then maybe adding other trainings later?
Yeah, the quicker that you can start to build your community, the better or the faster your business will grow. So rather than collecting all of the certification, be like, now I'm ready. Because even when you have five more certifications, you won't feel ready. Like, more certifications doesn't give you confidence. Getting out there and doing practice, whether it's your teaching or serving, whatever it is you're doing, practicing gives you the confidence over and over and over again. So when I first became a yoga teacher, I would say that was my first modality, and I didn't do another training. I went out there and taught yoga. I taught yoga in corporate places. I taught yoga in my house to random strangers. I taught, you know, probably looking back, I shouldn't have done that in London, inviting random strangers into my home. But, you know, I did it over and over and over and over again before then adding on another modality. And if someone was to land on my Instagram page today, there's barely any of me doing yoga, but at one point there was. And those people, maybe some of them, still follow me from those yoga days. But as I've grown and added on different modalities, then new people come in and some people drop off. And so you don't need to worry about those people that stop following you. They, you know, people come for a reason or a season, or they might come for, you know, a certain type of practice, but people can still practice with me in yoga, in the self-care space. So yeah, I would say build the community first. Mm-hmm. And that means for my clients is like getting on Instagram or your choice of social media. Maybe it's a podcast, whatever it is, choose something, start sharing your voice, because we all have a voice. We all have an opinion, or we all have an approach to a modality, and share your approach and why that helped you. So then why that helps others. Don't wait until you have six more modalities or just one more modality. Start today, because it takes time to build a business. It takes time to build a community. It takes time to refine your offerings and voice as well. So the faster you can get out there to share, the easier it will be in the long run when you have more people to talk to.
Yeah, totally. And would you recommend just starting and doing that before refining your niche and, you know, the demographic? Or would you say those go hand in hand?
There's always a two-way street with this, like to niche or to not to niche.
Yeah.
I used to be in the not to niche party, but now, as I've refined my own skills, it's easier to niche, I find.
Yeah.
Because you're talking to a smaller amount of people, but you're talking directly to them, rather than saying, I'm a coach and I coach everyone about everything.
Yeah.
Or you say, hi, I'm a business coach. I work with wellness professionals to launch online business only. And so you're like narrowing it down to that person, rather than saying, I'm a business coach for everyone. But don't get me wrong, I started there. We all start somewhere, but I find it's just easier to talk to those exact people now.
Yeah, totally. I was watching a training from a mastermind that you and I both did, and I was looking at it. It was about niching, and it was saying, like, you have your market and then you have the problem you solve, and one of those should be specific. So if you like to work with lots of different kinds of people, niche the problem that you solve for all different kinds of people, or niche the people and then work with lots of different problems with that specific person. And I thought that was really good advice, because a lot of times, entrepreneurs seeking freedom don't like to be confined in a box. So I think sometimes there's that resistance to the niche. And I was like you, like, I was quite resistant to that for a long time. And now I'm like, you know what? It's probably a little bit easier if I just like narrow this down a little bit.
100%. I guess when you started, who were you speaking to?
Oh God, I just like went out there roaring on Instagram. You know, I spent a lot of time building the community before I ever sold anything. Because as soon as I started my first coaching training, I just started getting on Instagram in small ways that scared me, and then sort of increasing the exposure and the visibility, because it used to really scare me. I remember Instagram stories came out not long after I'd started my Instagram. because originally they didn't have stories. And I remember thinking, there's no way I want to put my face on there, because I didn't want anyone, you know, that I went to school with or that I knew from my previous career to see that, because it was so taboo to move from fashion into the wellness industry. And I'd had this past of being, you know, quite a troubled soul. I had like addictions. I was a party girl. And so then now I was moving into, you know, my healed era and helping people do this stuff. And I was like, who am I to do this? Like, I can't let them see me on Instagram. But I just kept going and going and going, and then like getting more confident, like as a practice, like you said. And now I don't give a fuck, but yeah.
I'm the same. I was a party girl up until I left Australia. So like when I was 30, I left and I was like, no more partying. I'm going to be like focused on building my next chapter. But I always think sometimes, I wonder what they think now, you know, because I'm friends with people on Facebook, you know, there's a few thousand still from like, I don't even remember half of the people that you add on Facebook, like on a night out, I'll add you on Facebook.
Yeah.
You know, I'm showing my age here. But yeah, it's crazy. But yeah, as you said, you give less fucks.
Yeah.
As you just get in more into your next era.
Yeah, totally. Do you find that a lot of the women who are coming into your program, they've got that nervousness around what people will think about them stepping into this new career, if they're newly certified, you know, or they're changing their career totally? Do you get a lot of that, where their confidence is a bit shaky?
Yeah, definitely. I think that when you start a new career or you start a new business, you're always, you know, first person at the party or that you know, turning up to a new job and you're the first person there or something. But I always say, like, if you don't feel comfortable sharing it on your personal account, then start a fresh new account, and it can be fresh, you know, no one will know about it, and you can start off completely fresh. So yeah, everyone comes to my program feeling nervous, even to show up to some of the calls. People are like, oh, I don't want people to see me. Like, there's this full, you know, I don't think it's very normal for people to not want to be seen. Yeah. Especially women, we've been taught to like stay small, stay quiet, don't have a voice. And so I love unleashing the power and the confidence in people during my program as well. Like, I'm like, get out there, let's do this. Currently, yeah. I've got about 15 or 20 women in a Reels challenge at the moment, and people in there are like, I cannot go on Instagram. I cannot show my face. It's too scary. I don't even know how to do a reel. And we're like 10 days in now, and people are dancing in their reels, and they're like showing up every day. And it's just like, wow, this is amazing. I'm so glad I've unleashed or unlocked their kind of inner confidence or their inner child that just wants to come out and play.
Yeah, totally. And again, it's like we mentioned before, or you mentioned, what's the worst that could happen? And that's an actual practice called fear mapping, where if you're really nervous about something, just ask yourself, okay, what's the absolute worst case scenario? And what would I do if that happened? And chances are, like, you might feel a bit cringe, you might be upset for an hour, just be feeling a little bit of the feels, and then you wouldn't die. You would just handle it in some way. And then I think for your mind, it just gives it that little bit of control again. And you can go, okay, cool. If that happens, here's how I'm going to handle it. And then it just gets easier and easier. And then you can't shut up on the internet one day. So when people come into your program, I guess I would imagine it's very empowering for them to like have a plan. Like, you know, they come into your program and you give them the step-by-step of how do we, you know, get our first clients? How do we create this product suite in our business? And I think a lot of times when you're a new entrepreneur, it's easy to look at someone who inspires you, who's very far ahead, and get overwhelmed thinking, oh my goodness, how am I going to have a book? How am I going to have a membership? How am I going to have these one-on-one clients? Would you recommend that people start simple in terms of the plan? Like, what's the first step? Is it getting leads? Is it getting out there? Like, we already mentioned that. What are the first fundamental steps, in your opinion, if you're brand new to business?
If I was to start again, so I'm talking to that version of me, I would get out there and practice my modality as much as possible, because that's going to give you the confidence and also the testimonials to then share online. And I'm always putting an online business hat on because that's just what I do and that's what I specialize in. But yeah, getting out there and doing, like, so when I did qualify as yoga teacher, I taught everyone, like anyone that would have me, I would teach them. So like at the corporate places that I was freelancing at friends at home, anywhere, when I would go home to Australia, I would teach my mom and like anyone to get that feedback and to gain that confidence. Because when you feel confidence in what you offer, then I feel like when you sell to people, it makes it so much easier. Because I think that the problem is not only do people not know where to get clients, but they don't feel confident in what they sell. Yeah. Or they don't feel confident in what they're actually trained in. So that would be my first step before the Instagram, before the website, before all of those kind of shiny, bright things, is actually get really good at what you do. And if that means practicing for free, then that's what needs to happen.
Yeah.
That's where I would point people to.
Yeah, it's really good advice, but I feel like you don't hear it that often, because online and especially in the coaching world, there's this kind of shiny promise of, you know, make 10K months or make a shitload of money in this amount of time. And I even see it in people's bios as like a flex, like I made $1 million in 6 months. And I'm like, cool. But the reality is, like, you're selling to people who need to learn how to trust you, just like you need to learn to trust most products or services you buy. Unless it's like a pair of sunglasses that shows up on a Facebook ad and you like how they look, that's a, like a pretty simple like journey as a buyer. But I think a lot of people maybe don't want to put that work in, or they've been sold the idea that they don't have to. And so then when it doesn't happen fast, they think that there's something wrong with them. But the truth is like getting really good at what you do, like you said, is your business card. Like that's going to give you referrals, testimonials, the social proof, you know, the word of mouth between people talking about how you're really excellent at what you facilitate or what you offer.
Yeah. Completely. I know we've both gone to breathwork with Federica when we first was introduced to breathwork. And, you know, at the time, I don't think she had a website or, you know, very big on Instagram, but she blew me away for me to then tell you. And then I think you went and did 10 sessions, then your partner did 10 sessions. And, you know, is this ripple effect when you're really good at something, you don't need any of those shiny things to help, you know, your business go along. So that's where, yeah, get good at what you do.
Yeah, totally. And like, don't be afraid to do those free sessions or give people a free taste of your work. I think it's this fine line between honoring the value of your work and your time, especially as a woman in this world, but also know that, like, you know, giving people this generous time of yours or giving them, you know, the chance to experience your work, it's a reciprocal exchange. You're also getting that feedback. You're also getting value from that experience, not just giving it all away. And I think a really nice example to mention here about you. So I remember when you were transitioning from Silu to your somatic therapy and bringing more of that online. So you had quite a decent size audience, but they'd come from travel blogging, yoga, and Silu. And so now you were reorienting your mission. And I remember during COVID, every time I went on Instagram, it was like Phoebe Greenacre is live. And you were giving so many free meditations, yin yoga, you were doing free Zoom classes, and your audience, I can't remember exactly, I think it went from like 10,000 to 25,000 in quite a short amount of time from being so generous during that time. And I imagine a lot of those people are now members in your self-care space membership, clients, and they're like raving fans and customers of yours because you were willing to like be so generous with them.
Completely, completely. And I didn't have any strategy around doing that. I just had a mentality of, I spent the last, say, 7 years in London focusing on me, like, how can I build the business? How can I do this? How can I become this? And then when everything kind of shut down, I was like, how can we, like the collective, how can I help them? Mm-hmm. What do I have that I can give them for free? Because everyone was struggling with anxiety, people losing jobs, not knowing if we were going to get sick. It was just like this whole huge kind of shake up. So I just came to the table and was like, what can I do? What can I do to help? And what can I do to serve? So if you're new out there and you're starting, like, get out there, give free sessions, put yourself out there, collaborate. You know, collaboration is super key for growing astronomically. That's what happened in COVID for me. But also, I still give free masterclasses now to demonstrate, you know, my abilities. And I don't need to. But I love doing it because people come, people get great value. Like, oh, I would have paid, you know, £100 for this. And I'm like, oh, that's amazing. But, you know, I give it away for free. And a lot of people hold their tips and tools and, you know, strategies really close to their heart. And they don't give anything away for free. They think, oh, but why would they then work with me? But when I give away great value and people come away with like, oh my God, I got this, 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 like, imagine if I worked with this lady, imagine if I paid her for her skills, what could that look like? And I always, you know, recommend my clients as well to get out there and give stuff away for free, because I'm sure giving away stuff for free is not going to dwindle your skill set so that people won't pay for your stuff.
Yeah, totally. And the more you give away and the more that you work with people, the more your knowledge expands exponentially all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, I think sometimes it's a scarcity mindset where people think, you know, if I give it all away, then there's going to be nothing left. And it's like, well, if you're someone who is dedicated to personal growth, evolution, becoming better and better at what you do, and learning new ways to serve people even better through what you do, you're always going to be expanding. Every client session that you have or every masterclass you give, and as you get the feedback, you're going to learn and refine and become more wise at that thing. And so I think it's like abundance mindset at play in business when you're doing that, rather than like gatekeeping, like you said.
Completely. And the further you can walk them down the line to your purchase, you know, from people coming, becoming aware from you, from doing something for free, then they start to like you, then they start to trust you, and then they start to buy from you. So it's that you're walking them home to that purchase. And when I get out there to do a free masterclass or teach something for free, I'm not thinking, oh, they're going to buy from me. I'm out there to serve and I'm out there to help. And I'm out there to, you know, even if it just turns a little light bulb on for people to think, start thinking differently, then my job is well done.
Yeah, I love that. I love that so much. So something I think is really great and unique about you is you really marry these two energies of like masculine business and feminine business. And I think that's unique because there seems to be these two camps on the internet. It's like bro marketing and like hustle and scale at all costs to your life. And then there's the more feminine energetics camp of business, getting your energy right, you know, doing things from a space of pleasure and heart-centered leadership. But I really resonate with how you're kind of a bit of both, because I feel like that's how I am. Like, it's not just your energy, it's also strategy and having structure and having a plan, but not too much of that that you lose the lifestyle that you want to create, or you're burning the candle at both ends. So how do you infuse both of these? Like, is there like an analogy that you would have to describe the importance of both? Or like, tell me a little bit about it.
Well, what's coming to me straight away is a glass of wine. You can't have the wine without the glass, and without the if you only have the glass, then you can't have no wine. And so that's like the masculine is the glass and the wine is the feminine. But I guess how I interweave it more on a practical level, like the first modules of my program are how to work with your cycle. When should you be creating reels? When should you be creating, like, doing partnerships? When should you, in terms of your cycle? So what week of your cycle should you do these things as a loose guide? I also look into human design, and we look into each unique energy type to then maybe this is what you should focus on in your business, because this is what how your energy flows in your human design. So there's all of those elements of, I guess, more of a feminine approach to building a business before we even get into the strategy stuff. Because if you're like, I don't know, doing 10-hour days during your period to try and build your business, it's not going to feel in flow. And we want to feel in flow. We want the energy to be flowing. We want the ideas to be flowing. We want to feel in flow most of the time, all of the time. That is the goal. So that's why I always teach or share or educate on those feminine aspects before we get into the masculine. So that we can then absorb the masculine.
Yeah, totally. Because I suppose different strategies work in different ways for different energy types. Like what's going to be right in terms of like your energetic output and how you schedule your day or your content is going to be very different for a generator versus like me, a projector. Yeah. You know?
And like an example is I have a Facebook group just for the people that are doing my program. And some people will post, oh, I'm having a mental breakdown. I don't know what's going on. I can't get out of bed. Like, I know I should be doing the coursework, but I just can't, you know, yada, yada, yada. And my approach is like, okay, this week you work on your nervous system and that's it. Like mm-hmm. self-care, get into the self-care space, do yin every day, like really kind of nurture, because you're running on zero, you're running on nothing. And I don't know if that's a normal response from other coaches.
I don't think so.
Yeah. You know, and so because we can't learn in a frazzled state, we can't, you know, absorb and create from a frazzled state. So self-care in the form of yin and nervous system regulation helps people to then excel in their creativity, in their ability to, you know, have a vision for what they want to create. Vice versa, or you know, doing the other stuff first, like get out of bed, you need to do something every day, like, you know, is only going to exacerbate the nervous system breakdown. So I guess that's where I am a little different as well, is that I'm like, self-care first, put on your safety mask first before you dive into my program. And it's one of the things I ask on our energy match course is like, do you have time, do you have energy to actually get into this stuff and like put the hard effort in? And if someone's like in a 9-to-5, they've got kids, and I'm not saying that if that's you, you can't do my program, but you've got to have the extra energy on top, because it does take extra energy to learn and implement new skills.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that in itself, like you doing that, I would say is kind of very unique and maybe even revolutionary in the industry, because a lot of people are just like, make the sale and here's the script you use to like convert that prospect in inverted commas into a buyer. But it's probably not going to end well a lot of times if you're not asking those kind of self-aware and conscious questions, because that person is going to get in the program, they're not going to get the best results, which for you as the person holding it, like as a human being, you're going to feel like, oh shit, like they didn't get the result. But then that person is maybe going to blame themselves or blame you, like project that onto you, when actually maybe they should have done the program at a different time or made certain rearrangements in their life in order to be able to fully show up for that. And you see, like, I can't remember the percentage, but it's something really high. Like most people don't fully finish online courses that they do. And then they just buy the next one and the next one and the next one. And yeah.
Completely. I always make sure people have space and the want and like, why is it a now thing? Because if it's not a now thing, if it's only like, oh yeah, that'd be nice, I think I should, you know, do it, I'm like, no, you have to be on fire. Like, this is what I want to do and I am not going to fail.
Yeah.
Because those are the type of people I want to work with. Life's too short to work with like lukewarm. Yeah, I think I want to do it, but like, you know, it's hard work, you know. Yeah. I like people with a rocket up their bum.
Yeah, totally. What would you say to people who are hearing that and they think, well, Phoebe, it's easy for you to say that when you've got like a full clientele and like a business that's making all this money. How can I turn away someone who's not aligned when I like need to make money? This is like a bit of a devil's advocate question.
Yeah. So I would say right back at the beginning, when people say, should I leave my full-time job to start my coaching business? I say, no, stay in your full-time job. Start the coaching business on the side, because you don't want to have to just take anyone and everyone to work with, because you end up working with people you don't like, you don't vibe with, that are just not on the same wavelength. So I would go right back to the beginning of, like, you know, most people start things on the side. So that's where you would start. And then if you're in the position now and you started a coaching business and you don't have a steady income and it's, you know, scary at points, I would get a part-time job to subsidize your building the business, because building businesses take time. Online businesses don't take a lot of money, but they do, you know, you can't pay your rent when you first start. Let's just put it that way, you know, unless you've saved a lot, or, you know, there's not going to be an immediate six-figure salary from your, you know, yoga teacher business, if that's what you're expecting. So it's a slow grow, burn kind of process. So I always say, have a side job. Don't quit until your business, you know, it's obviously a delicate balance for loads of people. Yeah. If you have the ability to live at home, or you've got the ability where you don't pay rent or have a mortgage, then there's going to be more of a time where you can jump a little earlier. But I always wait until I can see the cash flow coming in. And even though I can see the cash flow, it can still be scary either of the ways.
Yeah, love that. And this is the nuance between the advice of, like, just feel the fear and jump in and do it. Like, that's not always going to be great advice to people, because you're going to have that scarcity, which is very real scarcity of, like, I need to meet my needs and pay my bills, and then be projecting that onto your audience or your clients and expecting them to be responsible for that, versus, like you said, like, taking your time, making sure that people are the right fit, and not having that very valid fear coming into the equation. And it, you know, that was my path. I had like 3 jobs, you know, and for the first 18 months or so of showing up on Instagram every day and like doing my thing. And I was just doing it in between, like, the nanny job and then, you know, the £7 an hour in the cafe in Kensington. And it's like not super glamorous, but if you're committed to creating that long-term vision of freedom, I think sometimes there are those moments where you gotta juggle, you know?
Completely. When I first quit my job nearly 10 years ago, I was about to turn 30, and my boyfriend broke up with me at the same time, just after. And I was like, fuck, I was supposed to be living with you. This is not the plan. So I got a cash job. Like, I went and worked at my friend's market stand in Bondi Markets and sold their clothing label for them on the weekends to pay rent. And then Monday to Friday, I was hustling with my marketing agency. That was like my first foray into the solopreneur world. But, you know, did I think that I was going to be 30 and like working at a market stand and like, you know, but I just did it. I was like, I have to do this to survive, and I'm going to do this because I don't want to fail, and I don't want to go back to my full-time job. That was my biggest thing.
Yeah. Right?
Mom and dad were like, you could just go get 6-figure first salary in your marketing director role or this or that. And I'm like, no, I will never go back. I will do anything before I go back.
You're like, fuck off, Mom. Leave me alone. I'm doing this. Okay, so this inspired me to ask you this question, because I know I asked myself this and you probably have too. How did you know when it was time to make that leap between like juggling all the hustles and going full time into your business?
So I guess the first time that I did it, so quitting my first job, I guess that time was, I hated my bosses. I hated the red tape. I hated the like hierarchy. I hated the having to be at the desk. Like, you have to be at the desk at 8:30, and you can't go for a dentist appointment that might go over your lunch break. That was just grinding on my freedom at this point. And I'm like, and also you can only take 4 weeks holiday a year. And that was grinding on me. All of these things were grinding on me. And I knew I was coming up with amazing marketing campaigns and people were stealing those ideas and taking them as their own. I was like, this is messed up.
Yeah.
This is fucked up. And so I knew, I was like, that's it. I'm going to do this. I'm going to, like, the drive was more burning than the consequence of, like, you know, not having an income. I was like, I don't care. I am doing this.
Mm-hmm.
that was that point. The first time round, I only had one client and I wasn't, I jumped first.
Because, yeah.
and you know, with one client. But the second time round, it was a slower burn because I was running Silu and then I was teaching yoga on the side and somatic therapy on the side. And then I built the self-care space on the side. So Silu, it was actually a year of doing both before I actually stepped down as the CEO. Before I went full-time with no Silu.
Yeah, totally. So I think these kinds of conversations are important because when we talk about, you know, lives of spaciousness and what we've created, it's important to caveat that, like, there are seasons, particularly in the beginning, where you are holding a lot more and you don't always have that same luxury of the spaciousness. But I think you would agree in that in those seasons of juggling more, like, it is very important to care for yourself, to take care of your nervous system, and also know there is a little bit more pressure during those times.
And you have to look at other things you may need to sacrifice, which may be your weekends and drinking and going out. Like, if there's only a certain amount of disposable income and you need to build a website, pay for some subscriptions for online programs, or you want to buy a dress and go out for brunch. Like, these are the things that you need to weigh up. And this is what we've had to weigh up at points in our lives. And then there's also the time. Like, I remember when I was working full time in London and I spent every Friday night, Saturday and Sunday in my yoga teacher training, which meant I couldn't go out. I couldn't catch up with people, but that was the sacrifice I made at that point in my life so that I could move towards the different pathway from my marketing career. So there's going to be sacrifices, and you can't, unless you have like a like rubber bank or something, or have a bank like of money, you know there are sacrifices you have to make in your time and the way you spend your money before you can then have this spaciousness.
Yeah, totally.
That you may see.
I think that's why it's important that you have that burning passion for the vocation of what you do. Because I think starting a business and seeing people on social media living these amazing lives as, like, life coaches or online podcasters, influencers, like, it's very enticing to a lot of people because they're like how we were in our corporate jobs. They're like, fuck, like, having to go to the gym and have my sweaty clothes in the bag and be at the desk at 8 o'clock. But the caveat is like, you can't just say, okay, well, what business should I start to get away from that? You have to have that burning passion for what it is that you're really doing in that business, because there are those sacrifices. There are, you know, those big compromises that you have to make in the early seasons. And that passion is what is going to drive you. And also that passion, I think, is what sustains you so that you don't feel burnt out by that sacrifice. Like, I remember I was making so many sacrifices when I first started my business. Some of my friendships got sacrificed because they weren't aligned anymore. And I didn't feel burnt out by that. I felt like, I don't know, like I had this fire under my ass, but it felt like really nice under my ass, you know? It was like, yes, let's do this. And I don't care that I have to, like, spend my weekend doing this and work this job in the cafe and, like, you know, clean up after these kids that I'm nannying for. Like, I want to do all of this because this is helping fuel this life that I'm creating. And so I think, like, that's the difference between just starting a business because you think I'm going to make a load of money and have freedom versus, like, having that vision to create a life of freedom in your business, but also being, like, fiercely passionate about what it is that you're doing.
100%. I remember in 2020, I was running Silu and a team of people and factories and all that stuff. I was showing up on Instagram every single day, teaching, you know, sharing, doing something. I spent every single Sunday of 2020 teaching live yin. I would spend a whole day preparing the class because I only just trained in yin in 2020 as well. So it was a new thing for me, but I got out there straight away and taught straight away. And created my own class. And every single week, without fail, I would show up. I think I took 2 Sundays off the whole year. So, you know, it's the sacrifices that I made. But when you start with 0 people in your class and at the end of the year, you're getting like sometimes I would have 50 people in my class. I would be like, oh my God, you know, and I love spending my Sundays researching all of the yin meridians and just diving so deep into the class that I was preparing. It lit me up and I was like, I know I needed to do this because this is making me feel alive. And it didn't feel like a sacrifice.
Yeah. Yeah. How do you think these experiences and like initiations have fed into your journey now of like being this, you know, successful CEO and mentor, but you're also like a full-time mom and you're the breadwinner of your family right now. And it's like, you're holding these really different roles at the same time. And I just spent, you know, like the last 2 weeks with you and you seem pretty relaxed. I'm like super impressed.
Well, as you have known, we do a lot of self-care here in Bali. So there's a lot of Pilates and there's a lot of massages, and I've been able to weave that into my now schedule because I built a business that only takes a few hours from me every day. Maybe it's an hour here, an hour there, to keep my business running and keep it successful. So all of those sacrifices that I did take, it has led me down this pathway of A, resiliency, B, pushing me to the limit sometimes. Like in my pregnancy, in my 8th month, loads of people were just like relaxing and, you know, putting their feet up, which is great. But I was like still doing masterclasses and still learning myself. I retrained as a breathwork practitioner. I was still in a mastermind, but all of that stuff still lit me up. And I was like, this is amazing. I love it. And my husband was like, why aren't you not, you know, why aren't you just relaxed? Stop, you know, doing all of these things. So it's really given me that desire to keep learning and that desire to keep growing because I then can impart that to my clients as well. But yeah being a full-time mum now, but also still running my businesses, like I didn't think that you can have it all. And I don't want to say that lightly because there are days where I'm like, I get so stressed out. Like today, honestly, before we recorded this, I was like, Amy, I've had a meltdown. The baby's had a meltdown. And, you know, I have to shuffle things around, which is great that I can do that. But also I have really rock bottom moments still as a mom, as a first time mom. But the business and what the financial side of my business brings in and also the amount that it lights me up allows me to keep going. And it allows me to be flexible, which is my number 2 value, is to have flexibility in every single day and that I can cancel a day and clients and things if I need to, if something happens like a baby melts down because that is out of my control.
Yeah. Yeah. So I feel like it's been so cool to speak to you because we've gone on this like whole voyage from the beginning to the present day. And it's like in the beginning, you're the rock for the business that's fluctuating, but now the business is the rock for you. Like the business is the steady thing for you right now in a time of unpredictable change and discovery as a new mom. But it's like the business is the consistent energy now for you, supporting you to have that life of freedom. So it's really cool to hear like the full circle journey of everything.
Yeah. And it feels like, I don't know about you, but when I was working 9 to 5 or wanting to do something differently, I never knew it would feel this good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like I would never, and I pinch myself. I'm looking out at the sea view and the rice fields, which Amy was staying in here last week. And I'm like, this is my life. This is ridiculous. Like I still am pinch me moments. There's not a day that goes past or a moment that goes past not feeling super grateful for the choices, the hard choices I made, like quitting my job and working at those market stands and hustling to be able to get to this place where I have a lot of freedom and flexibility, so I can be with my baby as long as I need to or want to.
Yeah, it's a deeply satisfying feeling when you're like so proud of your former self who didn't know like what she was doing half the fucking time, and you're like, girl, you're so fierce, I'm so proud of you, thank you, because like I'm here today because of that crazy big dreamer like chick that decided to go for it, you know. Amazing. Well, my love, it's been amazing to share your wisdom and story with everyone. Where should people come find you? And then also tell us about the program that we've been mentioning quite often throughout this episode.
Sure. So everyone can find me online, phoebegreenacre.com, Instagram, Phoebe Greenacre. And the program's called The Consciously Alive CEO. So I want to make you come consciously alive by teaching you all of the things you need to build your online business in the wellness space. So it's a 12-week journey taking you through from A to B, from zero to hero for your coaching business, your yoga teacher business. There's a 360-degree learning aspect. There's pre-recorded modules because freedom is about doing this in your own time. And then there's live coaching calls where you come to ask your questions to get support. And there's extra layers of support of the Facebook group and the accountability buddy, and then also the self-care space. So I feel like mental health, physical health, and business health is all covered within the program.
So good. I want to take it. But I'm not new. Damn. Amazing. Well, thank you so much, love. It's been amazing. I can't wait to come back to Bali and see you soon.
Me too. Me too. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you. Thank you so much for tuning in. I hope this episode ignited you, expanded you, and enriched your heart, your mind, your life in some way. If it did, reach out on Instagram. My handle is This Is Amy Rushworth. Or you can head over to my website for all my courses, retreats, and magical offerings at amyrushworth.com. If the show feels like a vibe for you, make sure you subscribe. And if you have 60 seconds to rate and review, or even to just share the show with a friend, I would be so, so, so grateful. And it helps more amazing, beautiful people like you to discover this show and to improve their lives for the better. Stay tuned for the next episode. And until then, I'm sending you strength, grace, ferocious courage, and a friendly reminder to always love yourself fiercely and to go out there and live your most unapologetic life.